Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it.
So, what do you want to talk about?
I mean, theoretically, like, we're two podcasts away, counting this one, from the biggest WrestleMania ever, if we're to believe the WWE-created hype.
Well, the hype from 6 months ago. I have not heard, you know, any sort of, like, we're going to break the record, or this is the biggest WrestleMania. In about 4 months.
Okay, yeah, sure, screw that. NXT Dallas, man! NXT Dallas is shaping up to be quite the show.
Y'all excited for this? I'm excited for this.
They went ahead and, we knew it was going to happen anyway, but the NXT episode from this past week announced that Shinsuke Nakamura and Sami Zayn are going to have a one-on-one.
Yeah.
Super excited about that.
Yeah.
Less excited about Baron Corbin versus Austin Aries, but that's not Austin Aries' fault. super excited for Bayley versus Asuka.
Yeah.
That's going to be pretty dope.
Is that going to be a barn burner?
If there was... Well, it is Dallas, so I guess there probably is a barn.
Barn within, somewhere in the vicinity.
Within walking distance, yeah. Championship match is going to be, you know, Finn versus Samoa Joe.
That's going to be good.
That's going to be good, just like the last time.
Mm-hmm.
American Alpha is the number one contender for the tag team championship. They're going to go up against, I forgot what their new name is called. I always call them the Mechanics, because that's what they used to be.
Yeah.
The Revival? Is that what it is?
That sounds right.
Yeah.
Is that right? I don't know.
Possibly. Who cares? Anyway, I'm sure there's a couple other matches on the card. Kind of a late starting time. But then again, they're in Texas, so for them it's 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
But on the East Coast, it's going to start at 10.
Well,
which is kind of funny because I'm taking off at work for this.
And I would normally
get off at 11.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't miss much anyway.
Yeah.
Or I could have theoretically taken off like half a shift and just like gotten off at 7.
Yeah.
But I already put in. I'm going to take the whole day. Because also... I'm expecting more of a crowd on Saturday than I am Friday.
Yeah.
So I need to take that time to clean up and make sure the apartment.
It's also WrestleMania weekend. I'm also
taking off for Monday for Monday Night Raw, but that's a whole other thing. And I'm taking off Thursday because NXT's coming to Charlotte.
What up?
Yeah.
Well, this thing is like, I am starting to get excited about WrestleMania weekend.
Yeah.
And a lot of that is my doing and not WWE's doing.
Yes.
But, like I finally started the slideshow this week.
How far have you gotten?
11 slides.
Okay. I mean, they made a lot of progress on the card this
they
week.
They did make a lot of progress. That's kind of...
I'd forgotten until this week that Jericho versus AJ wasn't official.
I know.
I just assumed it was.
Like, that's kind of what started, you know, like, kicking me into gear. I was like, okay, this is actually a sizable card. And there's stuff like Ryback and Kalisto. I forgot that was on the card.
Oh, it's actually officially on the card?
Yeah.
See, that one I didn't think they made official yet.
Well, that's when I'm like, I don't know.
And were we supposed to know that Usos versus the Dudleys was on the card?
That's the other one. Those
that
two
one,
were
that
ones
one seemed to come out
like,
of nowhere.
What? When?
I'm guessing they might have announced that on SmackDown.
Maybe.
That was clearly going on the pre-show, right?
That's probably, I mean...
Like, they announced that...
Well, the armbar is going to be on the pre-show.
Well, yeah, they've announced that, but that the portion of the kickoff show that's going to be on USA is going to be the Battle Royal. And they've also specified that it is a 20-man Battle Royal because they don't have enough people on the roster that aren't injured right now to make it 30.
This thing just gets sadder and sadder.
And it doesn't help that they just announced that 7-man ladder match for the Intercontinental Championship.
Which totally could have been a Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn match, and
sure,
I would have been fine with it.
I would have been fine with it, but part of me does kind of wish that that would be saved for a later date for a higher profile spot.
Yeah, but if it's going to be for the IC title, then...
Sure, sure.
Unless one of them...
I feel like that is a future WrestleMania, like, WWE Championship or main event.
If one of them gets the championship, then...
Yeah.
That's... But, I mean, you don't... I am...
I mean, for the same reason that they're not quite giving us Charlotte versus Sasha Banks one-on-one just yet.
I am of the opinion that if you've got it ready, lined up for this WrestleMania, you don't save it for another WrestleMania. There are too many careers cut short. There are too many dream matches not put forth.
Just like, you know, we had all assumed, or I think a lot of us had thought that the Shield triple threat for the championship was going to be this year until Seth got hurt.
A Shield triple threat is the kind of thing that could have gone on last year's. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody was ready and lined up and main eventy enough.
Oh, yeah, where it was believable.
Yeah.
And by all means, if that was the main event instead of, like, just another Roman Reigns one-on-one, then the internet would be a lot happier.
Well, if that had happened last year, Roman versus Triple H would be a lot less, you know, backlashy this year.
Oh, if they had done that
last year before? When they could have.
True.
Maybe.
Maybe.
And, again, like, on paper, I can see where the, like, let's have Brock be the thing that gets crushed by Roman to cement him main event.
Sure.
I get the thought process, but...
Sure, and at the time, they weren't nearly as behind Dean as they've gotten lately.
Yeah.
And Seth, he was still in his, like, workhorse mode, but this was before he even got the championship back in 31. Champion. Yeah.
Yeah. But you don't... I feel like there are occasions of, let's save these two guys from fighting.
Right. Which is assumed what happened with Bray Wyatt and Brock Lesnar at Roadblock.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people are saying injury, some people are saying they're saving it for something bigger down the road.
CM Punk could have fought John Cena a lot more.
Oh, sure.
I
mean, that's more to the thinking that WWE just took too long to recognize that he is a top guy.
Yeah, but there were several times, there were, like, very clear, you know, backstage reports that were saying we need to keep Cena and CM Punk apart and save that for a big moneymaker thing.
Right. So instead they did that at a Night of Champions?
Yeah.
Cena was... CM Punk was still champion, yeah.
SummerSlam,
they had the triple threat.
They had the SummerSlam match.
Yeah.
It wasn't triple threat. No, it was a unification thing with Triple H's special guest ref. And then Del Rio cashed in.
That was SummerSlam, yeah.
Yeah, that was the SummerSlam match.
So when did they do the triple threat with the two of them and Big Show?
You're
thinking of CM Punk's first reign.
Yeah, is that
back
what we're
in
talking
2011?
About?
I was talking about 2012.
Okay.
After Punk had already had the championship for like 6-7 months.
Yeah.
The SummerSlam match was the triple threat between Punk, Cena, mm-hmm. and
yeah. No, I was talking about a different SummerSlam. No, you're right.
Yeah, yeah, but, yeah. All right, we're on the same page.
All right. good. Yeah.
So if you think about it, really the only one-on-one that those two ever had was Money in the Bank 2011, Night of Champions 2012. And then the Raw before WrestleMania, or one of the Raws before WrestleMania 29.
Yeah, so two screwy finishes in a Raw.
Yeah.
Best match on Raw in like 3 years wouldn't have happened.
Oh, sure, yeah.
But two screwy finish matches in a Raw.
Yeah.
So, and I love the Money in the Bank match. We all do. It's a 5-star match.
Mm.
But a screwy finish.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Like, you know, Punk, it was kind of one of those things where, like, Punk kind of caught Cena by surprise or whatever, because Cena more...
Well, that was in the era where, like, Cena could not lose.
Sure, yeah.
And at the time, it was as clean as Cena had lost in a long, long time.
Close enough, yeah. And that Night of Champions was, like, a weird roll-up. Because there was no
physical interference.
Yeah. That Night of Champions, like, the finish was, like, a weird roll-up where technically all four shoulders were down,
mm-hmm.
but they called it a win. Well, I mean, he was the champion, so... They're not going to...
Champion's advantage.
Yeah, champion's advantage.
Yeah. So, if you have the guys...
Which is like a weird... Like,
I mean, we'll take it for this year's example.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn have a match at this WrestleMania.
Right.
I don't think it will undercut having a main event match two WrestleManias from now.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that, you know, rematches are fine as long as... The only rematch that people have been really down on is Once in a Lifetime to Twice in a Lifetime.
Right.
And people were really, 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 really down on that.
But it probably would have been a different thing if there was some space in between.
Well...
Don't you think? Like, they 29 they didn't, and then 30 they did.
That would have been okay. What it came down to for me was how obvious that this is where they were going. For so long.
Especially because I think 28 is still their most profitable WrestleMania, and, you know, in the terms of pay-per-view buys. So, you know, twice in a lifetime.
You get why they would.
Yeah, it felt kind of a cash grab, which, you know, they're all about profits and everything, which you can't necessarily fault them for, but at the same time, it does feel a little gross.
Okay, but let's, so 28 and 29 was a back-to-back rematch thing.
Yes.
But 27, 28 was a back-to-back, and 25, 26 was a back-to-back. So this is the third back-to-back.
Right.
Pretty much in this little span of time. And neither one of those had the same issues as twice in a lifetime.
And a lot of that probably was because of the way that they built it, because they kept building up 28 as once in a lifetime. That's why we keep calling it that, because it's kind of annoying that, like, this can only happen once, except...
It literally happened twice.
Yeah, it literally happened more than once.
And, I mean, so Shawn challenged The Undertaker to a rematch at the Slammies, which kicked off that storyline.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember, because Undertaker came back to challenge Triple H for the second match. It was not a good victory, give me my good victory at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Thing. I don't remember when that happened. But, and maybe it was because they weren't tying up the championship in those matches. It was just about the streak.
Yeah.
Maybe.
But at the same time, they weren't making, big claims about the build that they couldn't hold up, you know, the cold.
Yeah.
Hold up to.
And
Triple H, or Shawn Michaels stayed retired, and they kept calling it end of an era or whatever, and those guys have never had a match against each other since. So
there was an escalation each time, with Shawn putting his career on the line, and the second Triple H thing, having Shawn as the referee and having it in a Hell in a Cell. And I know that it was like, well, the first one wasn't for the title, and the second one is for the title, kind of thing.
Oh, for with the once and twice in
lifetime. Yes, it is an escalation, but it just doesn't...
But it felt like, twice in lifetime, the way they got there felt more shenanigan-y, if that makes any sense.
Yes.
You know? It's like they had to make... You know, the plants aligned to make this happen.
Yes. Part of it is, in 28, you already put Cena and Rock on last after the title.
Right.
So clearly a Rock and Cena match is more important than a title match.
So you don't really need it.
Adding the title doesn't really add anything to the
prestige.
So
really all the title does is just connect the dots.
It connects the dots.
To give them an excuse to have.
And it takes it away from somebody else.
Yeah.
So, but we've had... To go back to my point, we've had these rematches that we've been fine with, most of them, other than that one really glaring exception.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had, like, Rock and Stone Cold fought together three times at WrestleMania.
Right.
If Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens fought at this WrestleMania,
sure.
Then two WrestleManias from now, I don't think anybody would say, boo, yeah. We've seen this!
Right, yeah. Oh, see, and also, like, it doesn't seem... And the reason I'm okay with them saving it is because they really haven't had a lot of time to build up a story between them two on the main roster. Yeah, we have their NXT stuff that we can always show back to.
Yeah.
But there hasn't been a whole lot of build leading up to WrestleMania between them. Like, they've been getting, like, segments here and there, but it hasn't exactly been strong. So I'm willing to wait until they can give them the proper time.
But if they have this storyline that has already been teased and seems to be going in that direction, do you think there's any real chance that somebody else that's not one of them is going to have the title at the end of the WrestleMania?
Probably not. I think we're probably going to get...
Maybe Ziggler, but Ziggler's kind of filling in the Kofi role of, like, you know, does the crazy spot.
Yeah.
Which is what he does now.
And Zack Ryder has nothing to lose, so watch.
Like, Zack Ryder's in there?
Yeah, him and Sin Cara, like, are, like, the glaring, like, you know, you point to and, like, really? And then you're like, oh, right, everyone's injured.
You're out of people.
Yeah, you're literally running out of people to fill out this roster, and apparently you just can't make it a 5-man ladder match.
They already made the graphic with the 7 on it.
Right.
It's easier to erase Aaron Neville and paste in Zack Ryder.
Did you call him Aaron Neville again?
Adrian Neville.
He just goes by Neville now.
Hey, Nev.
Neville's not even in WrestleMania.
No, but he was going to until he got hurt, clearly.
Oh, I forget. See, there's so many happening that I just can't. can't remember all
of them. Has he gotten hurt since the last podcast? Did we talk about it on the last podcast?
I don't remember.
I don't remember.
It all just happened. Yeah, because I think we kind of talked about how we're just kind of numb to it all.
Yeah.
And so. It sucks for him, and we hate that it happened to him. But it's just one of the things where, like, yeah, just
another guy
just got hurt.
Yeah. I want to touch on it for a little bit, just because I want to touch on it a little bit.
All right.
Hogan won his
See, I'm glad I didn't make the joke, because, all right, it's time for Joel's touchy segment. Joel's going to touch on things. I'm glad I didn't go that route.
Classy ring attire.
True.
Classy.
It's a sword.
Which is why I also want to talk about the fact that he had to speak about his size versus Hulk Hogan's size and how it was different.
It's like, no. Terry Bollea isn't that big. No. Trust me. Hulk Hogan, huge.
Hulk Hogan's 10 inches.
Hulk Hogan is 10 inches. Terry Bollea, probably maybe 3.
Which is just...
It's a weird thing.
It's a thing that, like... As far as this case goes and what it stands for, mm-hmm. and what it represents,
right.
and what sort of precedence it might make, and like this, you know, tape right. is the result of the Hogan racism coming sure. to light and everything. It's weird
mm-hmm.
that we now have official court testimony
about that subject,
differentiating
sure.
wrestlers
from their real life,
right. from their character.
And I watched the video. Of the trial.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just go ahead and clarify. Of the trial. Where he was talking about that. And I understand where the defense was kind of getting at with that. Because they were just... You know, because he had talked about it on a radio show or something.
Yeah.
And he was always, you know, being boisterous about it. Like, oh, it's huge. It's 10 inches. Blah, 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 blah. You're like, well, you went on a radio show and talked about it. So, is this tape really a violation of privacy if you're a public figure and you're talking about it? And he was like, yeah, it's still in violation of privacy because I'm not really Hulk Hogan. Like, that's not who I am by birth, you know, along those lines. So I understand where the defense was going, but...
I know, it's just, it's
weird. It's just weird that that's the topic
that
they were going with.
That's what caused, you know, because... KFAB has been protected. I mean, that's basically in KFAB.
Oh, sure.
You know, his junk is this big, and not in KFAB, it's this big. Like, that's what it is. They're discussing KFAB in a court of law, and it just happens to be around.
I need you to use that as a pickup line. Just talk everything up for a while.
So, oh, no, it was a KFAB.
Whenever the time, you know, happens, and she's poorly disappointed. I'm like, oh, no, it's a pro wrestling thing. KFAB. Yeah.
I like how you're going to lose him with that, but you're planning on swinging it back in with pro wrestling insider lingo.
It happens. You never know.
So, yeah, there is official court documentation about what KFAB is now.
I just had a t-shirt idea for Class Ring. Sorry, it doesn't have to do anything to do with mini Hulk Hogan.
Is it not going to be a t-shirt that just says, in KFAB, it's huge?
Close. But it's like, classy ring attire on the front, and then underneath it, in big words, it says, the most successful wrestling podcast ever, and then tiny words and like an asterisk, and it just says, in KFAB.
In KFAB.
Or, we can just like, classy ring attire, it's huge! And then tiny words in KFAB.
Yeah, you can do anything in KFAB, right?
Yeah, and like you can like commit murder in KFAB, right?
Well, that's the thing. Is like it's a legitimate.
And I'm actually like 100% like on board about these t-shirts. So if anyone wants to make those for us and send them to us, please.
Well, I mean, The Undertaker has killed people.
Oh sure, you know, he buried people.
He is a murderer.
He hanged Big Boss Man.
Yeah.
I mean, in KFAB.
I mean, Big Boss Man also came back.
Sure, and so did most of everyone else that he buried.
Has he killed anybody for good? Because I know he's killed a lot of people, and I know a lot of people have come back, but I don't know where the timeline is.
I don't know if Undertaker has, but Shawn Michaels and Triple H did put the entire Spirit Squad in a box, and most of them didn't come back. Like, Kenny Dykstra and Dolph Ziggler are, like, the only ones that saw the light of day after that.
I think they're still in the box.
Well... their bones by now, yes.
I don't know. I'd be curious. Somebody let me know.
Is anyone that...
Well, that's the thing. It's like the buried in cement thing. He clearly killed him. That was it for that story. He killed Paul Bearer for that story, right?
Sure, but Paul Bearer came back after that. Yeah,
and Paul Bearer came back. But there wasn't any, like, this is how I escaped from the...
They just kind of ignored it.
It was just a different story this time.
Did Tori Wilson's dad come back after he, like, died after him and whatever her name was, like, had their honeymoon night, and then she came back and he was dead?
Don't know.
That was a weird storyline.
Yeah. They have those.
No, they do. I don't know. I can't think of anybody. I'm just trying to think of, like, who has been killed off in WWE and, like, in kayfabe and stayed there.
I don't know.
Or just never came back. I don't know. I'm pretty sure there has to be somebody.
Surely, at this point, like, just...
I think Tori Wilson's dad might be the only one.
somebody figure that out.
I don't know if he ever
came
back. I don't know. That's what I'm saying.
But yeah, Hogan won the thing. I think it was kind of a...
Yeah, this
was not a swerve of any kind?
No. Like, it clearly was. In all seriousness, with Hulk, this was a clear violation of privacy.
I mean, yeah, it's kind of like, yay, this horrible person now has to give that horrible person some money.
Like $150 million originally in damage, and now initial
plus 25 million.
So, I did like that one. I don't know if it's still like this, but someone changed the Gawker Wikipedia to saying it was owned by Hulk Hogan. Because technically, yeah.
Yeah, because they now owe him more money than they make.
Yeah.
So
Gawker might not be a thing for much longer, so get your Gawker shirts, I guess.
Get your Gawker fix on right now, while there's still time.
You Gawkheads.
I want to put Gawk into, like, Goth, like, but I can't make it work without just saying one
goth.
Of those words. Like Gawk.
Yeah, that's not how words work.
All right, let's go back to wrestling. That's all I have.
Okay. Well, you kind of transition. Do you think this sparks any sort of, because I'm saying zero to more than zero chance
of Hogan coming back?
Of Hogan, like, making any sort of WrestleMania 32 appearance.
Do you remember when he, somebody asked him right after it happened, when do you think you'll be back in WWE? He said WrestleMania 32.
Really?
Yeah. So, yeah. No.
Yeah.
What
about WrestleMania 33, though? You think, is there a bigger chance that he's...
I mean, there's a bigger chance with each year passing.
Oh, sure, yeah.
I hope if that happens, they just do it, and they don't do some weird thing where, like, he comes back during Black History Month, and, like, they have Booker T give him, like, a handshake, and, like, we always respected you.
I'm still waiting. I'm still waiting on that that Legends with JPL with Booker T, because he asked them that.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to go ahead and release that. It would be good timing for that, to be honest with you.
Well, yeah, to kind of capitalize on the Hogan thing.
It would be super awkward if, like, Hogan does make a 32 appearance by some miracle, and then they air that, like, soon afterwards.
Yeah.
That would be fantastic.
No, I feel like once you bring Hogan back, like, you don't have to, like, deny what happened, but, like...
You don't acknowledge it.
We don't need to be like, this is what one of our employees said.
Yeah, like, Hulk Hogan's racism equals TNA, really.
Yeah.
Because TNA just doesn't get...
Doesn't exist.
Doesn't get mentioned.
So, yeah. What else happened?
Oh, Vince kind of added the stipulation with the...
Right.
The Undertaker-Shane thing. And really, all Vince said was that if Undertaker loses, this is his last WrestleMania.
Yes.
Didn't specify, like, retirement or anything. Which I guess kind of saves face, seeing as how they've already booked Undertaker to go on the UK tour after WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing that's why they didn't just flat out say retire.
This is why his last WrestleMania.
That way they can kind of save face.
Yeah, but if he loses to Shane, like, what does he do in the UK?
I don't know. I'm assuming it's just an excuse to go visit his son.
No, I mean... That...
he'll come out to do, like, a squash match.
Yeah, that's what the UK has been in the past.
Oh,
is
sure.
Like,
yeah, Undertaker and Kane versus, like, Social Outcast or something like that, or that equivalent.
Yeah, it helps Kane a little bit, and Undertaker gets to visit his son on WWE's dime.
And if he has to, you know, wrestle at somewhere other than WrestleMania, then get ready for that Night of Champions winning streak that Undertaker will clearly go on for the next 20-some years.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
No.
Oh, Terry Funk made an appearance.
Oh, yeah, Terry Funk made an appearance.
That was cool.
Gave his chainsaw to Dean.
Yeah.
Which I'm kind of... I'm not disappointed, but I was kind of thinking, shouldn't Chainsaw Charlie be giving him the chainsaw?
Yeah, but then
in WWE lore, like, I'm sure he's used the chainsaw, like, as Terry Funk before, like, somewhere else.
Yeah.
But in WWE lore, like, that's Chainsaw Charlie's chainsaw. Because I can't... But then again, it's not like...
The Bat McFoley's or is the Bat Cactus Jack? Because didn't Cactus Jack...
Sure. And there was a point, and it became a point where it just became synonymous, like, okay, it's McFoley. You know, mm-hmm. They just gave up. And they did the same thing with Chainsaw Charlie and Terry
Funk. Well, do you remember when Chainsaw Charlie and Cactus Jack had that match at WrestleMania? And they were terrible about remembering to call them by those names?
Oh, yeah, and they just kept calling him Terry Funk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's not like there was, like, big kayfabe protective, you know, protecting the identity of who's behind that hosiery over his
face. So we have one more Raw before WrestleMania. Who do you think is going to give Dean Ambrose what?
Oh,
what is
man.
The final toy that Dean Ambrose gets?
Well, first of all, we need to, like, come up with, like, I don't know, is Sabu going to come out and give him a table?
I mean, bottom of the ladder is Seth Rollins and the axe handle, which is the dumbest thing ever.
True. Yeah, that was... Anyone carried over his shoulder like it was,
like it was an axe?
Like some sort of trophy.
I'm going to take this weapon, but remove the most dangerous part.
I mean, that's... Like, that's stylistically... The Jim Duggan, like, slightly different from it.
I mean, that was my... Other option was that, like, you know, Jim Duggan could come and give him the 2x4. That was the one that immediately, like, not immediately jumped.
Yeah, because I can't really think of, like, any sort of, like, hardcore legend that is on good terms with WWE currently that they could use.
Yeah, it's like, Triple H isn't going to give him anything. They're enemies.
Sure.
Who else has a thing? Sting has a baseball bat, but he already got a baseball bat.
But if they want to play into Sting retiring, he could do that.
That's true. But then is he going to have two baseball bats? Like, I don't need this one. I have a better one. I have one with barbed wire on it already. I don't need a normal baseball bat.
True. And, I don't know, Shawn Michaels could give him his foot.
This is the boot with which I kicked many of Sweet Chin's.
I don't know. Like, I'm pretty sure there's just one, like, a glaring one that we can't even think of right now.
I mean, Terry Funk came out of nowhere for me. Like, yeah. I would not have picked
Terry
Funk.
I was honestly, like, I was sitting there, like, in this weird segment at a Philadelphia restaurant or whatever. I was just sitting there, like, where are they going with this? Oh, okay. I don't know. Maybe Tommy Dreamer comes and gives him a kendo stick or something.
Sure. Maybe. But back to the... Main event, not the main event, but the Hell in a Cell Undertaker match.
Sure.
This gets weirder and weirder trying to follow it in kayfabe, right? Like, the fact that Undertaker is doing Vince's bidding has not been properly explained.
Right, and why he's so willing to go along with it.
Yeah, like, it was briefly...
Like, the first...
Cindy brought up and Shane was like, why are you doing this? And the answer was, these are my legacy.
Yeah.
Indicating his...
Like, you still haven't...
Fists?
Yeah, you still haven't answered the question.
Like,
and, like, the first time they addressed it, Undertaker was basically like, man, not my problem. I'm just going to, you know, whoever's in front of me at WrestleMania is going to get run over.
Yeah. And it feels like there's not been... It's getting harder and harder and harder for there to be a justifiable reason.
Mm-hmm.
For Undertaker to be at WrestleMania.
Sure.
In kayfabe. Other than, of course, it's Undertaker and WrestleMania as a thing. But, like...
But it's clearly one of those things, like, this feels totally off from left field, and clearly is a byproduct of all the injuries.
Yeah. Well, you have all these things where, you know...
Coco Beware could give Dean Ambrose a parrot.
The bird.
Sorry. Go on.
You have all these, like, trying to break the streak... matches. Mm-hmm. Every year somebody's trying to break the streak. That happens for years and years and years.
Yeah.
And then when the streak is broken, he disappears for a year, and you have this weird one-sided thing where, like, Bray is, you know, you're old and your time is up and I'm the new face of fear kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And we had this weird, like, Undertaker didn't appear till WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. So, like, he was talking in, like, lightning special effects, and it said, I accept on the Titantron.
Yeah.
And so, but there wasn't really a reason for him to face Bray Wyatt other than, like, to shut him up. And so, now we're at this point where, like, we never got a good, clean ending to the Undertaker-Brock Lesnar feud. And I never thought we would. I don't think we should. They're like, you know, two titans and going at each other, and there should be screwy finishes and dusty finishes. And
sure,
on any given day, one guy could beat the other. That, mm-hmm. you know, they kind of back and forth that you could milk into several matches. I'm fine with that. But because we don't have a good conclusion to mm-hmm. that feud, it's still kind of lingery.
Yeah.
So Undertaker just coming back and be like, well, Shane McMahon is who's here. And I get, like, you know, this, I get Vince's thought process mm-hmm. of I have to make sure Shane loses. Who is the most, in kayfabe, who's the guaranteed as possible WrestleMania victor?
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's Undertaker.
Yeah.
I get that. And you're putting it in a Hell in a Cell, and I get that. I don't know why Vince hasn't made himself special guest referee. Feels like something he would do. I thought that was going to be what the announcement was.
Yeah.
But then he tells Undertaker if he loses, this will be his last WrestleMania ever.
Yeah.
Which, okay. How is Undertaker supposed to respond to this new information?
Yeah, like, oh, I'm mad at you for doing this even though I'm doing your bidding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just, Undertaker doesn't have a beef in the fight. And it comes down to if wrestlers wrestle for money or not.
Sure.
And they do sometimes. Like, when people are threatening to get fired, oh, I can't because this is my job and I got to feed my family. Big Show's ironclad contract.
Crying. Yeah.
But other than that, we don't really acknowledge that these guys fight for money. Mm-hmm. They fight for the glory of the title or because they hate somebody.
Yeah.
Or they do it for the fans if they're a super face.
Sure.
But the like, oh, I'm fighting because it's my job and I'm, you know, and I get paid more to win and I get paid more for bigger shows isn't really a factor in the stories. Mm-hmm. So that's and especially with Undertaker.
Yeah.
Like, Undertaker is also like an undead zombie who I feel like doesn't really need money. Mm-hmm. So what is the reason for Undertaker to accept this match? Because he can turn down matches, which is a weird, unique thing to Undertaker and specifically to WrestleMania. Where, like, Kevin Owens is not happy about his match. They had a whole segment about it. He's unhappy about his match. But he can't turn it down. He can't say, I'm not doing that match. Mm-hmm. And part of that's because he's champion.
And part of that goes in the whole prize fighter thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and if he turns down, he has to defend his champion or be stripped from it and sure. he needs a championship. And so he can be upset about that. But we have that a lot of times with grudge matches, not just at WrestleMania, but at several different locations mm-hmm. where somebody comes in and, you know, you, wrestler X, will be fighting wrestler Y, and they'll be upset in the ring, and no, that's not fair, and then, and plus, it'll be in a cage match, you know. That happens a lot. That's a pretty standard trope.
Yeah.
Where these guys are put into matches that they don't want to be in. But we've had several things where Undertaker has turned down a match. Shawn challenged him at WrestleMania, and he said no. He challenged Triple H at WrestleMania. Triple H said no.
Yeah.
And we get other things like Daniel Bryan challenging Triple H at WrestleMania for 30, and Triple H saying no, and Daniel Bryan having to goad him into it. But that has you know, well, Triple H does make the cards now.
Sure.
You know,
add a little bit of that.
Adds a little bit to that.
And that was kind of with him turning down Undertaker, because like the storyline for him turning him down was like, I know what it's going to take to finally, you know, put you down for good, and I don't want, it's not a good business decision for me to do that, like that
right.
sort of thing.
Right.
So yeah, I would like some sort of like actual reasoning.
Yeah. So Undertaker.
But I mean,
Undertaker apparently has the power to turn down a match.
But for some reason, he's not doing.
He was ignoring Bray Wyatt for a while last year until he finally accepted the match. Mm-hmm. So yeah, he's not turning down this match. What is his reason?
Sure, I can't answer that.
It's weird.
It is.
It's weird.
It is. All right. While you're talking about three things, Raven could come back and give Dean Ambrose a shopping cart. Al Snow could come back and give Dean Ambrose a mannequin head. And Stone Cold could come back and give him a cement truck.
I don't think he'll
go. Hurricane Helms could come and give him a cape.
He might come back and give him a beer. I don't think he's going to come back and give him a cement truck.
But imagine Dean Ambrose walking to the ring. He's already got a baseball bat with barbed wire and a chainsaw.
Guy, if he brings these things to the ring, this is going to be
guessing he could, like,
my favorite payoff of WrestleMania.
Like a string on the connect the mannequin to a string and hang that around his neck.
Well, if he has a shopping cart, he'll just put it all in the shopping cart.
Yeah, but then I got to figure out how to put the shopping cart in the dump truck.
It's a cement truck. Just strap it to the top.
He could do that, and then he could put a seatbelt over the mannequin head, and he's wearing a green cape.
Okay, you are trying to fill this podcast, aren't you?
Well, I'm probably going to suggest that we go ahead and end this before your computer crashes again.
What's making you happy?
Oh man, what is making me happy? Season 2 of Daredevil hit this weekend.
I'm not
going to spoil it for anybody, don't worry. But man, is it good.
Yeah.
I am hesitant to make this claim, but I think it might be better than the first season.
All right.
And that's a big, it's a big jump.
It's a big...
Because I held season 1 of Daredevil in pretty high regard.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
You still haven't watched season 1 Daredevil, have you?
I'm in the middle of it.
Oh, okay. You're in the middle of a lot of shows.
I am in the middle of a lot of shows.
How are you on House of Cards?
In the middle of it.
What season?
Season 3.
How far in season 3?
One episode.
Jesus.
anything wrestling related making you happy?
I mean, NXT Dallas is still probably the show I'm most excited for. Just on the card. Like, sure, WrestleMania is its own thing. Like, it has its own brand of excitement. But just looking at the card, I'm so excited for NXT Dallas.
Okay.
But so yeah, I mean, it's hard to really say anything else at this point.
Yeah.
So what's making you happy? And don't say the same things that I did.
I never say the same things you did. I'm good at this.
Shut up.
You constantly like what you said.
It's not all.
You're like, what's making me happy? I'll say something, and you'd be like, yeah, that for me too. That sounds good. I'd be like, that's not
the because you say segment. It first.
What's making me happy this weekend, wrestling related, starting on the slideshow.
Yeah.
It's always a weirdly daunting task.
Yeah, that's what's making me happy too.
I'm going to set you on fire. it's always a weirdly daunting task because, like, it's the last year's slideshow is 74 slides long. Jesus. So just to kind of like...
make them shorter. I have to read these things.
I know you do.
You're gonna make it like 80.
I am not. For the past years, I have been trying to outdo the previous year. I'm not trying to do that this year.
Because you don't need really more than one slide to cover the Dudleys versus the Usos.
Trying to come up with what to put on the slideshows is weirdly complicated thing to do. To not make it insanely boring.
Right.
But it's fun. It's a slightly less daunting. It's 11 slides less of a daunting task. There's still a lot to do.
Yeah.
But it's started, and that hump has been gone over. So that's what's making me happy, that I have that started.
Congratulations.
Thanks. Anything else?
No.
Man, we barely touched on anything this week, didn't we?
Well, can you blame us?
There just wasn't a ton.
There wasn't a lot for Joel to touch. Come back next week when Joel starts his second ever Joel's touching something.
As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CRTR. We live tweet all Mondays and appropriate Sundays.
In KVAB. And if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send those over to our email. That's classicringattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes. Easy way to follow us. Easy way to get the podcast. You can click subscribe, get a new episode every week. Maybe give us a rating of
5 stars in real life, but 10 stars in KVAB.
Or write a review. That kind of stuff really helps out the podcast.
And if you're listening to us on insidepulse.com/wrestling, we would like to hear from you, so leave us a comment on there.
We are also on Facebook. Easy way to follow Chris. Easy way to follow myself. See what other kind of things we're doing out in the world. Sure. Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah!